Hello, hello, and welcome to Let's Talk About Time, the weekly-ish podcast helping you get things done and seriously shake up your relationship with time. I'm your host, Kat, and I share weekly bite-sized episodes for solo business owners who want to get hours back in their days, achieve more in less time, procrastinate less, and have more fun. Want to learn more about creating time freedom in your business? Download my three simple time freedom systems for solo business owners at cathuntervea.com/simple systems. Hey guys, and welcome to episode 5 of Let's Talk About Time. Thank you for coming back for another week. This episode is a little bit later than I normally publish, but if you follow me on Instagram, you've probably seen me posting incessantly about my daughter being sick and then my head cold and me just generally having a whinge about daycare sickness. So that's why this is a little bit late. I was going to record the episode on Friday and still try and get it out on the day that I usually do, but I just felt that it would have really been pushing through for me when I really just needed to take a step back and have a break and have a rest and let my body get on top of things. And I'm still not 100%, but today I decided to hit record anyway, because recording a podcast each week is something I really love doing. I love it and I get really excited when it's podcast time. So I thought I would go ahead and record it today so that I can get it out into the world. I still have a bit of a blocked nose, so it's probably a bit gross, but I hope you can handle it in your ears, and I hope it's okay and not too painful to listen to. Thank you to everybody that has subscribed, and I can see a couple of you have left me reviews already, which is amazing. Thank you so much for all of the feedback so far. It's been really, really lovely and I really appreciate it. If you haven't, take a second now to just hit subscribe or follow, depending on where you're listening, just to make sure you don't miss any future episodes. And if you do enjoy today's episode, or if you've enjoyed previous episodes, if you could leave me a review, that would be amazing. It really helps to get the podcast out there and to help change their relationship with time and productivity so that they have more time and more space for themselves, even when it feels like their to-do list is as high as a mountain. I'm just looking up the mountain that I live behind and imagining that my to-do list is as tall as the mountain, when I feel like most of our to-do lists these days do feel really, really long. Also, if you do want more from me after you listen to these podcast episodes, I've just released my free little guide, which is called 3 Simple Systems Every Solo Business Owner Needs for Time Freedom. And you can get it now. It's at cathuntervea.com/simple systems. So if you haven't yet, give it a download. It runs through the framework of actually a lot of what I'm going to talk about in today's episode. So if you do enjoy today's episode, you might find the guide really helpful as like a little bit more of a detailed deep dive into what I'm going to talk about today. Gosh, look at me. I'm busting out detailed and deep dived. Who am I? Anyway, today's episode I wanted to talk about, it's actually a people's choice episode today. I posted a story poll on Instagram asking which topic you guys would like me to talk about. And the other option, which was how to use routines and habits to create more time and so you know exactly what to focus on, was actually the episode that I was going to record for this week. I will still record it because it still did get a couple of votes in my story poll. But what I'm going to look at today, after you guys voted really heavily for it, is how to set your business up like you've got a VA, even when you don't. The reason I wanted to share this is because I am a VA, obviously, and I think outsourcing is an amazing way of easily getting some more time back for yourself or your business, and to clear your mental load and to create space for you to focus on the things that you want to be focusing on or need to focus on, and just handing off a bunch of things to someone else to do for you. And that is an amazing resource to have at your disposal. VAs are super talented. Most of them have backgrounds and skill sets and amazing specialties that you are really unique to them. So when you hire a VA, You're usually also getting someone with either a marketing background or an ops background, or even a background in, you know, something really specific, like they might have worked in allied health before, or they might have worked in an industry that's really going to benefit you. So they do have a lot of skills at their disposal. And you might be thinking, why am I going to talk to you about setting up your business, like you have a VA, even if you don't, when I'm a VA? And shouldn't I just be chatting to you about hiring a VA? Yes, on the one hand, but not everybody is in a position to outsource for help. So you might be at the very beginning of your business journey, or even if you're not and you're a couple of years in, and because it's you and only you, you feel like things have been progressing a little more slowly than you would have liked. And that happens to every solo business owner, let me tell you. So if this is you, you are not alone. And sometimes before we have grown our business to earning an amount of revenue that we're comfortable with, that, you know, that we need maybe to cover our expenses or to, you know, pay our mortgage or pay for childcare or whatever it is that we're paying for these days, broccoli, petrol. I'm just thinking of some of the items that I've been shocked by lately. When it comes to how much they cost, you may not be in a position to be able to afford to outsource to a VA. And that is totally normal and okay. And there is no point in pushing yourself to put yourself in a really stressful financial position to outsource support when you perhaps just can't afford it. In saying that, just because you may not be in a position to invest in a VA yet, it doesn't mean that you should feel totally limited by your position as a solo business owner. There are lots and lots of things that you can do to optimize the way your business runs and to optimize the way you use your time that can really, really help you when it's you and only you that you're relying on. And this is what I wanted to cover today. So originally when you heard this podcast topic, you might have thought that I'm going to be talking all about the systems and the tools that are available out there that you can set up to make it automatic for people to schedule appointments with you, or, you know, automate your communication responses. And those tools are all amazing, but that's not specifically what I'm going to be talking about today. I'm going to be focusing on what the value that a VA brings to your business is and how you can recreate that yourself. So a lot of that will be through implementing tools and systems and processes. But before you do that, it's important to look at what you're trying to create, what your aim is in your business, what the goal would be. If you did have an assistant for yourself, why would you be hiring them? What is the goal? And then work back through that to kind of reverse engineer a complete solution that works for you that you can then slot into your business. And then you can plug in all the tools and the systems that you need that's going to help that to run. So what I mean by that is thinking about a way of doing things that works for you, that helps your brain automate as much as you possibly can, and conserve your energy for the things that are really going to move you forward as quickly as possible when you're on your own. So when you're on your own, your brain is basically doing everything. It's carrying everything for your business, for your home, your family, everything else in your life. It's a huge mental load because there is no one else to delegate to. And that is enormous. That's an enormous weight to carry. And it's often the reason why solo business owners, we struggle to get clear on what our focus should be, or we struggle to focus when we do get the time to work on our business because we've got so much going on. We have a huge mental load and our brain just kind of goes, oh gosh, like what is the easiest thing that I can get done right now? Because I just want to feel like I've achieved something and I don't even know where to start. So what we need to be thinking about doing when we're trying to optimize our time and optimize our businesses to run really smoothly and to kind of reduce that load on us is just a way of doing things that really works for us, that will help our brain automate as much as possible. Because when we can automate as much as possible, it's less that we have to think about and it conserves our energy for the things that we really want to do or that really light us up. You might be thinking, well, if I had a VA, maybe they would look after my inbox or manage my calendar. They might do some operations stuff for me or schedule my content, which is a huge one. They might manage a project for me. So how do I swap all this stuff for stuff that I'm doing myself? I just can't. The point is that I want to outsource all this stuff and get someone else to manage it for me. And yes, that is a really good option if that is available to you, but it's not always available to us. So what I'm going to be exploring in this episode is swapping that for a simple framework. So when we think about what a VA or an assistant would do for our business or for us, when we think about the areas of value that some of the things that they do are, they all fall into one of three categories most of the time. So the first one is they stop the fire hose of information before it reaches you. They're kind of like a buffer, right? So as a solo business owner, especially one in 2023, we have so much information and communication coming at us all the time. So it's basically like we're standing in front of a fire hose getting pummeled with the high pressure water that's coming out, and it's all this different information, communication, messages, texts, pings, emails, blogs, social media, everything that's kind of coming into our business. When it's only us, we're like this giant funnel, and it's really easy for that funnel to get blocked up. So that's the first kind of area of value that a VA would add to your business if you were hiring one. The second area of value is they generally kind of optimize your time for the bits you actually have to do. So there's always going to be stuff in your business where you are either best placed to do it. Like, for example, if you have a podcast, your voice is best placed to record the podcast. Or there are bits as well that you might like to do. So, for example, if writing really lights you up, you might like to write your newsletter, or you might like to write your blog post or your social media captions or whatever it is. So if you do have an assistant, if you had one full time, they would generally optimize your time for the stuff that you actually need to do or want to do. So I like to think of it as a little bit of a time audit. So they look at how your schedule best works. They look at the best time for you to work, whether it's when you're the most creative, when you prefer to do meetings, when you like to do your invoicing or your tax, all those kinds of things. They optimize your time so that when you actually do need to action or do something, you're doing it really well and really effectively. The third area that I wanted to talk about is reducing the mental load. So having somebody else in your business can really, really take a lot of the mental load off you. You're either sharing it with somebody else, or that person is kind of taking it away by creating systems and processes and helping you just in general really organize everything and optimize everything so that your brain is not constantly rethinking this same repetitive, you know, processes or information again and again. So they are the three areas of value that a VA having. It doesn't necessarily have to be a VA either. It can just be another service provider, a consultant, an OBM, however you like to think about your support. Having support, those are the three areas that support can bring value to your business and really help you. So what do you do when you don't have someone to actually take care of those three areas for you? This is where really refining and deep diving into how to systemize your business can be really effective in freeing up your brain and optimizing your time. Because when we think about organizing and systemizing, if you think about your home, say you work from home, if you're anything like me, I hate starting work with mess around me. I know it's psychological, and psychology is a huge part of the way we work and how effectively we work and how productive we can be. If I am sitting in the middle of the breakfast dishes and like my 3-year-old porridge smeared next to me and old tea bags and and smashed banana. I'm just thinking of the grossest things I can think of. There's worse, obviously. But if I'm sitting in the middle of all that, I find it really hard to focus, and I find it really hard to get started or get into flow or get into kind of a work pace that where I'm feeling happy. I can feel really distracted and bogged down. And generally, I find it really difficult to get started until I've cleared the clutter around me. And this might be how we feel a little bit when we have a business around us that is not based on process and systems. And it sounds really boring, but that's because it is. The aim of these systems and processes is to make the content of those systems and processes as boring for your brain as possible, to the extent where your brain doesn't even have to think. And that is the key to freeing up your mental load, freeing up your brain power, your focus, your creativity. Once you systemize and automate as much as you can in your business, you're going to get free up so much more brain capacity, so much more creativity, and you're probably going to find yourself in balance with a lot more time. So, how do you actually create a system for each of these areas? So, we've talked about stopping the fire hose of info or communication, optimizing your time for the bits that you actually have to do, and reducing your mental load. So for each of these areas, a good start is to actually sit down and have a think about how much brain power you're devoting to each of these areas every single week. So it's not so much auditing your time, because there is a benefit to auditing your time and tracking your time. And if you're a service provider that works kind of by the hour, or even just, you know, in your own back end kind of keeps track of how much time you're spending on things, you're probably already doing this to some extent. But we rarely kind of think about the areas that we're spending time on in terms of the impact it has on our brain. So for example, if you're kind of jumping in and out of your emails all day, or if you're answering texts and messages all day, or if you're even if you're reading messages and then just not answering them and then forgetting about them and then thinking, oh God, I've got this big, huge list of people I haven't responded to, and it all snowballing in that way, you might sit down and have a think about how much time you're actually spending in each of these buckets. Another example might be if you are thinking about the third bucket, which is reducing your mental load, how much time are you kind of spending on that mental load stuff where you're kind of, you know, you're pulling together a reel for Instagram, and you record the reel, you get inspired and you record it, and then you think, okay, I'm going to post that later. And then later it might be 8 o'clock, you're on the couch, and you go back to the draft reel and you go, oh my goodness, okay, I've got to create a cover for it. Hang on, I didn't do that before. Okay, I'll go do that. Oh, I've got to write a caption for it. Okay, hang on, I didn't do that before. I'll go and write the caption. Okay, oh gosh, now I forgot to do the audio. So it's kind of how much time are you spending in that headspace of jumping back and forth, having to remind yourself of what each of these steps that go into producing something, how much time are you actually spending in that zone? And it might even just be noticing through the day. So kind of just being mindful about how your brain is working through the day. So that is the first step. So the second step is to think about putting together a system for how you use your time and your energy. And this is not thinking about, you know, a time management system. This is not going, okay, I'm going to put this time block in my calendar in the morning where I exercise, and then I'm going to do another time block for client work, and then I'm going to do a time block for a break, and then I'm going to do a time block for this and that. Just putting time blocks in your calendar for things that you've never done before is never going to work. Like, it's okay, it's probably going to work for about 2 days, because without actually changing the patterns and the habits that we kind of work by every single day, putting a productivity system in place is not going to work. So just kind of borrowing somebody else's calendar or somebody else's, you know, method of working, whether it's, you know, Pomodoro by doing short bursts and having a little break, or saying you're going to schedule 2 hours for doing your content every week and then just always pushing that time block aside. All of those things are really valuable tools, but without kind of doing the groundwork on how your brain actually works for you, they're just not going to work, because you're kind of trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. I'm in my daughter's playroom at the moment and I'm looking at the shapes, like how she's tried to fit the star into the cross. Anyway, that's beside the point. For the second step, you're thinking about the kinds of things that drain you and the kinds of things that you're spending time on where you're using a lot of brain power, kind of jumping around. Say it's your invoicing and you dread doing it every month and you end up feeling like you spend way too much time on it because you go back and forth doing a little bit, stopping because you get over it, doing something else, coming back to it, never getting done. So that might be something that's really, it's indicating to your brain that it's draining you. You're not loving it. And on the flip side, think about what you can fly through or the thing that you love doing that you could do for hours. So, for example, I could talk on this podcast for hours, although I won't today because I'm sure you can hear my voice is getting scratchy and gross and you're probably just thinking, Kat, I wish you would get to the end so that I can stop listening to this head cold banging on in my ears. But when you're thinking about the things that you love doing, think about how you feel when you do them. So if you love writing, you might notice that you could sit down and write newsletter after newsletter and you'd be on fire, energized, get through it really quickly, hit send, done. But when it comes to perhaps your invoicing or doing your calendar setup for the week, you might hate doing that. And it might feel like it can take you hours because you keep stopping and starting and looking for distraction. And here we're also looking for the things that you do need to do to keep your business moving. So you might definitely need to issue your invoices every week or every month, however often you issue them, to keep your business cash flow coming in and happening. But if it drains you faster than the Energizer Bunny, it might be something that's really taking up a lot more time than it needs to. And this is where thinking about what kind of falls into each of these categories. So things that drain you, things that you can fly through and things you love doing that you could spend all day on. When you're thinking about each of those things, it can really help because it gives you an idea of the things that you need to systemize to take a lot of that weight off your brain. And on the flip side, the things that you love doing that are really helping you move your business forward. And by systemizing all of those types of tasks, it will then leave you a lot more time for the things that you love doing or the things that you feel really in flow with when you do or the things that you can fly through. It's going to leave you a lot more space around those things. And when you are doing those things, you're going to be feeling a lot more creative and a lot more energized because you've thought about the things that drain you and you've put a system in place to help you streamline those things to help you get them done a lot more quickly or to just take them off your plate entirely. So when you're thinking about a system for how you use your time and your energy, and you're thinking about the different tasks that you do that fall into those different areas, you can also reflect on things like, when do you feel most creative? What time of day do you enjoy working more? What time of day do you have an energy slump? You can also think about things like, do you enjoy batching your tasks? Do you find you get more momentum when you do, say, if you're a social media manager, do you get more momentum batching all of the captions that you have to do for all of your different clients together rather than just doing them client by client? Or do you get more momentum from devoting, say, 2 to 3 hours to a specific client and really immersing yourself in that client? So thinking about those types of things as well, for example, can really help you craft a system for optimizing your time that really works for your brain and the unique way that you like to work. So the third step in creating a system for optimizing your time is to document. So you may have heard me talk about SOPs. If you follow me on Instagram, you would have seen I got really excited about an SOP that I created for this podcast actually the other week. So I have fallen in love with creating SOPs. And SOPs, which is standard operating procedure, can feel really daunting when you don't have any. It can feel like, oh my God, I need to create SOPs for my business and this is just another thing I'm going to have to do. And yes, it's a perfect thing to outsource to a VA. If you don't have a VA, which is the purpose of this episode, you can create these on your own and can be a task that is not as daunting as you think it might be. Say, for example, take the Instagram reel process that I was talking about a little bit earlier. Say you wanted to create an SOP for creating an Instagram reel. You might do, the next time you are ready to make a reel, you might give yourself a little bit of extra time for the first time that you're doing this. Sit down and say, okay, what are all the steps involved in making this reel? And you might just document them as you go. You don't have to use a fancy project management system. I do all my SOPs in Notion, which is an amazing system. I'm loving it. I'm actually transferring over from Asana to Notion, but you don't have to use something like that. You can use an Excel spreadsheet. You can use a Word document. You can use whatever you'd like when you're starting out. It's just about getting those steps down on paper so that the next time you do something, the next time you record a reel, next time you need to produce a reel, you open up your SOP, you've got all the steps you need to do, and you're not getting that feeling of like, oh, it's 8 o'clock at night and I forgot to do the reel cover, or I forgot to do the caption, or I forgot to do this, I've got to do this now, oh, I'm working all the time, this is terrible spiral. You can tell I've been through that cycle before. So documenting as you go, documenting the exact steps as you go, will give you an SOP. And it sounds really simple, but that is basically what an SOP is. And if you feel daunted by when you hear SOPs and you think you see people on Instagram with these fancy SOPs set up and you think, oh my goodness, I wish that was me. That is how simple it actually is. So it's just about for those tasks that you do need to do that are quite repetitive, that you do a lot and you might do them daily, you might do them multiple times a day, putting a process in place for the order that you do each of the steps in and what you need, exactly what you need to do, can really help your brain automate as much as possible, and it can really take the load away from carrying it around with you and trying to remember all of the tasks that you have to do for a certain project. The other benefit of SOPs is if you do ever get to the point where you do want to outsource, or if you do ever get to the point where you need to outsource, say for example you are sick for an extended period or something else happens and you think, oh my goodness, if you've ever thought about something like that happening and just shuddered and thought, I don't want to think about that because I don't really know what I'd do, I would lose clients or I wouldn't have a business or whatever you might have thought. If you have an SOP in place, it means that somebody else can come in and yes, they might need a little bit of help from you, but the amount of help that they would need from you to do what you need to do to make your business run or to service your clients while you're sick or while you're, you know, involved in a family situation or while you're away is a lot less than it would be if you didn't have those processes in place. So that's another amazing benefit of documenting those processes that are in your business. Creating an SOP handbook can really offer you huge relief when it comes to the way you use your time on a day-to-day basis and how effectively somebody else can run your business for you when you are in a position to outsource. So now that we've done a little bit of thinking about how much time we're spending in each of our areas each week, how we use our time and energy, what drains us, what we love doing, how we're spending time in those areas, and we've thought about documenting, so documenting as we go and creating our SOPs. Now it's time to implement it and put it into practice. So this is really the step where those tools that I was speaking about before, so all the different tools that you hear about to make your life easier, so implementing your inbox management system, implementing email filters, implementing an appointment scheduler, implementing automations, all of those different tools, this is where they come in to support this system that you have created. But now hopefully you can kind of see why the tools should be the last step, because without all of the pre-work that I've just spoken about, without kind of thinking those areas through and thinking about how you work and how you what you enjoy doing and what you don't enjoy doing, how your brain works and how to automate your brain as much as possible, just putting in tools left, right, and center isn't really going to give you too much. It might give you a few quick wins, but in terms of a holistic time management and time freedom process, it's not going to be sustainable. And that's where you kind of find yourself doing something for 2 weeks and then not doing it again. So the fourth step is really implementing those tools and putting them into practice. And I'm not going to dive into all of the tools that might be useful, all of the tools that you could possibly insert into your business in this episode, because I think it'll be a whole other podcast episode that I will cover in future. But if you do want to dive a little further into the areas I've talked about today, you can download my free guide, which is 3 simple time freedom systems that every solo business owner should have, from cathuntervA.com/simple systems. It's a really kind of comprehensive guide into what I've spoken about today. So if you kind of listened to this episode in the car, or you were writing a few notes and just got confused, or you got distracted by my recurring blocked notes, download the guide, and that'll kind of give you a point of reference. You can kind of read through what I've spoken about in here, and you can read a little bit more. I've put in a few more suggestions in there as well about the kinds of things that you might want to implement. So give that a download. Thank you so much for listening today. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. If you did enjoy today's episode, please, again, hit subscribe or follow wherever you've been listening. That would be amazing, and it means a lot to me. It really helps get the podcast out there. And I look forward to coming back next week, hopefully hopefully coldless is what I'm trying to say, next week with another episode on how you can create more time as a solo business owner.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Let's Talk About Time, the podcast. I've made it my mission to share everything I've learned about time with as many of you as I can. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you hit subscribe. And if you would be so kind as to leave me a review, it really does help the podcast in reaching more people and helping them reclaim more time. Otherwise, I'll see you next week with another episode helping you shake up your relationship with time.